Today's podcast is sponsored by the Samsung Flex Wash and Flex Dry washer-dryer pair, available at Home Depot. These innovative appliances are the first ever to allow you to wash two loads and dry two loads of laundry at the same time in one machine. When you do your laundry, you don't have to mix different colors and fabrics together, risking that color transfer or fabric damage. Flex Wash integrates a large capacity lower washer for the everyday washers and an additional washer for separate colors or delicates. Flex Dry integrates a large tumble dryer for everyday items and a flat dryer for delicates. Both the washer and dryer have a number of innovative features to make doing laundry easier for you and your clothes. Flex Wash offers a steam wash option for removing stains and a self-clean to keep the washer odor-free. Flex Dry also features multi-steam to steam away odors and wrinkles, while Sensor Dry optimizes drying temperatures to avoid damage to your clothes. Both are Wi-Fi connected, allowing you to set and start the machines and receive an alert when the load is finished. Together, Flex Wash and Flex Dry offers the ultimate flexibility to provide the best possible care for your clothes. That's the Samsung Flex Wash and Flex Dry washer dryer pair, available at Home Depot. I'm Rob Cesternino, back once again to talk about the internet's most interesting news stories for the week of Monday, May 22nd, 2017, here on News AF.
If the story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the single news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF.
Yeah.
Factual news.
Yes. Yes, that's right. We're back once again to talk about everything that you guys have found in the news and sent to us, either in our Group AF Facebook group or tips at newsaf.news. And then also compiled by NewsAF intern Lita. And then once it gets filtered through that process, it makes its way. But it's still very raw and unfiltered, right, Tyson Apostle?
Correct.
Yes.
It's very raw and unfiltered.
Very concentrated news.
Yeah.
Raw dog in the news.
That should have been what the podcast was called, Danny Bryson.
I'm just saying it's raw. It's coming to you just straight from the dog.
Yes. I think that should be the tagline of the show, of the raw dogging the news.
No, don't do it.
No?
Don't do it. Ignore what I just said.
No,
scratch it from the record.
Okay. All right. Well, we've got a lot of stuff to get to here today. Tyson, I know that you are headed west later on this week. Are you excited?
Of course.
It's hot. Yeah. Bring sunscreen.
How hot?
It's going to be like 100 degrees where I live today. But
holy.
Oh, are you kidding me?
That is too hot.
I'm not.
Oh, yeah. Rob, you got to come to Utah, bro.
Yeah, well, we're working on it. We're thinking about it.
Let me tell you, the temperature in Utah right now is 63 degrees and sunny.
And next week it'll be 110. So yeah. You got to get here this week.
Yeah, get here this week.
Okay.
It never hits 110 here, Danny.
I know. I had to exaggerate for, you know.
Yeah. It'll get up to 103.
Mm-hmm. All right.
In August.
We'll do it. Okay. So a lot of stuff to get to. Danny, how you doing?
Pretty good. Just enjoying this weather. Got some lawn mowing done.
Yes.
Pulled some weeds.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah. I have this fear, though, whenever I mow the lawn, that the blade's going to come loose and just chop off my feet.
Is that a thing? Does that happen?
I don't think it's possible, but it's what I think about the entire time I'm mowing my lawn.
So you think that it's going to come off, keep spinning perfectly,
yes,
and then chop your feet before it
both.
Hits the ground.
And then it'll chop so well that my stumps will just land on the grass and then be spurting blood like that scene from UHF or Monty Python.
You don't think that it will chop straight through your ankles so cleanly that you look down and you're like, oh, I thought that chopped me, but I'm still standing on my feet.
Or
and then you slide off of your feet, your ankles slide off of your feet in a gooey puddle.
No, I think it'll chop my feet off and then I'll take my next step with my stumps.
Oh.
Because it will happen so fast. It's just, it's an irrational fear. I get it. But it's always there while I'm mowing the lawn.
Danny, have you thought about getting a riding lawnmower?
I have used a riding lawnmower. And it is even more terrifying.
Why?
I think now that you have like three blades that could go spinning off like ninja stars towards strangers. It's just, I just don't like the idea. When I used to play violin, and whenever I tuned the violin, I also had a fear that the string would pop off and jab me in the eye.
Yeah.
It's one of those
things. That's a rational fear. That part is rational. But the blade one, I feel like, if you're really that afraid of it, why don't you get one of those man-powered ones that's like the cylindrical blades that you have to, as the wheels turn, the blade turns?
Or hire someone else to mow my lawn and then just watch them every time they mow the lawn just to see and wait.
Just set up cameras. I bet you could just set up cameras.
Yeah, but as you're watching, present. You're in the vicinity that you could end up getting
that's
that
true.
Inadvertent
you're
blade.
You're in the strike zone.
Yeah. I know that all these fears, like none of my fears are rational, right? But it's just, it's something that goes through my head. And this past weekend when I was mowing the lawn, I just thought, is today the day I lose both my feet?
Yeah. Are you afraid of cancer at all?
It's weird, but I'm more afraid of this thing that's likely to never happen than I am to the thing that's almost surely going
that's
to happen
like
to me.
50% chance.
Yeah, exactly.
Tyson, what are we closer to? A robot that can mow your lawn or a...
They already have one.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there's an actual robot.
The Roomba.
Yeah.
It's a Roomba for your yard.
I was going to say a lawn mowing actual robot, like not a robot that pushes the lawnmower, but the robot actually is the lawnmower.
Yeah, the it's Roomba style. You know how you have the Roomba that like bounces off the walls
What's
and vacuums
it called? Lawnba?
I don't know.
All I know is that that's even more terrifying because now you have a robot with spinning blades, which
just
is everybody's
down.
Nightmare.
The second that China wants to take over the processor there, or North Korea maybe hacks into the mainframe of the whole system, and then it's like uses his infrared eyeball to track humans down and then mow over them.
Right.
Jesus.
You thought he was just hacking the weeds. Then he got hacked.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sounds like a pretty good movie.
Who would be the star, do you think? Gary Busey would be the crazy neighbor. It's like, how's it going today? You gonna mow your lawn? And then you're like, no, I have technology. And he's like, yeah, I don't trust that technology.
Starring Gary Busey and Steve Buscemi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So Steve Buscemi's the neighbor who invests in the technology. I feel like you need like Ryan Reynolds or somebody.
But he's too big. He's not doing the lawnmower hacker.
Buscemi's
you
got.
Don't think?
No.
Buscemi's got the wild look of someone who could be in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a little prestigious. I don't know if he's doing this either.
Robert Redford could be the neighbor, too.
Yeah.
He's done
if the ski resort's
before.
In trouble.
Yeah, the ski resort is really in trouble. Okay. All right. So let's get into some of our news from this week. And we always like
we have
to talk
more news
about,
than that movie?
Sure. Certainly. Certainly.
Okay.
We have a lot of stuff to talk about in terms of avocado news this week because a lot of our listeners wanted us to talk about a new food trend, which is peak millennial, according to News AF intern Lita, who tells us that a cafe in Australia is now serving lattes in the shell. Is it a shell or a husk of an avocado, Tyson?
It's the shell of an avocado, I think. But it looks like they leave a little bit of avocado goop in there, just a smidgen of it.
Yeah.
So it's nice and green innards.
Okay.
Yeah.
Avalattes is that's what the name is. And they're combining two of Melbourne, Australia's obsessions, the latte and the avocado. But the internet is outraged. Now, Danny, would you potentially, I know you're not a big coffee guy, be interested in an avalatte? Could that convince you?
Now, switch the latte with Mountain Dew.
This comes on the heels of about a week or two ago. There were a lot of articles about whether or not avocados should have warning labels.
Oh.
And the reason was because so many people stabbed themselves through the hand trying to, you know, whatever it is with the avocado.
Open them.
Open them.
Yeah, so they get avocado hands. So I don't know. I'm putting someone at risk so I can enjoy a latte. It just doesn't seem right. It's not ethical.
Tyson?
I would try it, but only just for the sake of saying I tried it. I feel like, yeah, it's just a trend. Like, there's no reason. Does the avocado give it flavor? Does it,
sure,
the avocado
it gives it
melt
flavor.
Down a little bit and goop it out? I don't like the goop in the drink.
Nobody likes goop in their drink.
Right.
Not for me. How about you, Rob?
I love coffee.
Okay.
I love avocado.
Okay. We're the same so far.
I don't want coffee in an avocado shell.
What about this? Avocado flavored bagel.
Maybe cream. Again, let's put it in the cream cheese. Maybe that's something. I think you could, you know, smear some avocado on a toasted bagel. I think that would be fine. Yeah. But doesn't it spill? I'm very concerned about, like, you know, why am I drinking hot coffee, scalding hot coffee out of something that seems very
I just
delicate.
Thought of a reason.
Yeah.
I just thought of a reason.
Why?
There's no waste.
Stop.
You don't have the plastic cup. You don't have the styrofoam. You don't have the paper.
Okay.
Use a better fruit.
What's the waste in my coffee cup?
That's what I'm saying. What's the waste in your coffee cup? Show me your coffee cup.
I mean, it's in the dishwasher.
Okay. What is it made out of?
Glass. It's ceramic.
Okay. And what's going to happen to that when you, let's say, pass on?
Or use it to shoot, like for target shooting.
A new person can drink coffee out of it.
A new person. So you're saying it's going to forever be used.
I'm going to will it to my kids. Yeah.
Okay. Well, as long as you guarantee that it will forever be used, I guess that's a zero carbon footprint. But the second it goes in the trash, that's some waste that we've got to deal
with. Who's throwing coffee mugs away?
Well, we're not talking about coffee mugs. You don't take your coffee mug to Starbucks. These are people who are selling coffee at an establishment, and the people who buy it are taking it with them. They're
Thank
not bringing
you,
their
Danny.
Mugs.
Okay. At Gosh. Starbucks, I'm going to get on the train with a latte and an avocado.
Dude. These millennials don't have shit to do.
That's true.
They're sitting there all afternoon using the free Wi-Fi, making sure people see them using their Apple computers to do whatever they got to do.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
So I think if there's there's probably a better mechanism because that seems like really hard to handle. But
coconuts.
Yes, a coconut bowl, dude.
I mean, that's something. I feel like a coconut latte.
Coconut coffee.
At least that's a flavor that goes
Ooh,
with coffee.
Ooh, and that sounds good. Yeah. Okay. So now we have something.
It's a little less flimsy.
It's less flimsy, probably more
it's not
insulating.
Flimsy at all.
Oh, but what, millennials don't like coconuts?
Ooh.
I never
thought of that. Gen I just assumed everybody loved coconuts.
Yeah.
But the thing is the coconut bowl, if you take all the meat out, there's no flavor to that at all. It's just hard wood.
Okay. Could you keep the meat in, Tyson?
In the hard wood?
Okay. I mean, what?
In the coconut.
Yeah, just cut it in half.
Yeah, you could keep the meat. You could keep the meat in the hard wood, yeah.
Yeah, pour some coffee in there. Then you could eat the coconut.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good drink.
That's fine.
Here's the thing.
Who wants avocado floating in their coffee?
Not me. I don't like goopy avocado. Well, if it's by itself or in guacamole, I will. But like a
there's
like
a lot of it in guacamole.
Floaty.
Yeah.
Yeah. An avocado
floaty.
Yeah,
that's not appealing.
Mm-mm.
Stop
but
it.
But a coconut floaty?
That's fine.
Thank you.
That's fine.
Yes, I'll have
you
some.
You know me, I'll chug that down.
Put coconut milk in the coffee. That's fine.
Yeah, I do that. Right now, this coffee has coconut almond milk in it.
Whoa.
I do 3/4 coffee, 1/4 coconut almond milk, no sweetener.
Wow.
Yeah, that's this coconut idea is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Like,
is it though?
I don't know. Yes, I think it is. I don't
to
think
us.
A brain is required.
Okay, so should we start a coffee shop and use that?
It sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, wait, don't we have a show for this that we're trying to pitch? We're going to find someone else to spend all the money and do all the work.
Reverse Shark Tank.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Shark Square.
Sloth Terrarium.
Sloth Terrarium. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Again, I just know before last week also that millennials were so into avocado. I mean, I watched a whole season of TV about this last fall, all about the behavior of millennials, and never once did avocados come up where there was a lot of kerfuffle.
What's the show called?
It was called Survivor Millennials versus Gen X.
Oh, I thought it was called Big Brother.
It was a documentary about millennials and their habits. And there was a millionaire, an Australian, I guess, I don't know, especially Australian millennials seem to be really upset. Like, we got to ask Adam Ritta about this, millennials are buying something called avocado toast, and they're spending all of their money on this. And this Australian millionaire, Tim Gurner, said that you'll never buy a home. You'll never be able to buy a home because you spend all your money on avocado toast.
Hilarious. I have had avocado toast a few times.
Which, again, this goes back to that.
How much does it cost?
Bagel. Yeah.
It's like probably like $6 a piece of avocado toast. Maybe
that's
$3,
really close
bucks.
To what a house payment $6 is,
bucks.
Too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's identical almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But avocado toast is pretty good, I guess.
What is it? It's just a piece of toast with avocado on it?
So they do a toast and then they'll put pieces of avocado and smush them down and kind of spread it a little bit, like a nice soft avocado. A little bit of sea salt, a drizzle of olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Healthy breakfast.
Yeah, but it's expensive.
This guy said that when this millionaire you're referring to said when he bought his first home, he wasn't buying smash avocado for $19 and four coffees at $4 each.
Well, first, who's drinking four coffees?
Australians.
Well, he is. He's a millionaire.
Yeah.
Millionaires, I guess, drink a lot of coffee.
I mean,
they have to.
That's a lot. Yeah. I mean, that's what $35 of on avocado and coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're not even having an ava latte.
This guy's assuming that millennials even want a house. Parents' basements are free, usually. Yeah,
that's
true. I just saw a blast on Facebook that said that a bunch of millennials are living in vans now that are converted into little homes.
Okay, that's good. Hey, look, I never had one piece of avocado toast in my life, and I don't own a home. So I don't even know what this guy is talking about.
Yeah, it's kind of a stupid thing for him to say. There's a lot of options other than home buying. I mean, you can build a tent in the woods.
Buy Bitcoin.
You can buy Bitcoin. You can live in your parents' basement. There's lots of good cardboard boxes behind large retailers. I mean, lots of options that still provide the avocado toast and shelter.
Yeah. If I didn't have a family right now, I would definitely be partially homeless.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that you could be eating avocado toast like it was going out of style.
No, I'd still own a Honda Odyssey. But I'd live out of it, probably.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'd love to know if the millennials in our audience are that into these avocados.
They are.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love avocados, dude? There's a few people that don't, and those people are very outspoken.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people that do.
I love them. Look, I buy them at Trader Joe's. I get a bag full of them for $4.
How many?
You could get... They've got one bag that has four of them. You could get organic ones. I don't bother with organic avocado. I feel like everything is it's all safe inside there. I think it's like
Nature's
four
packaging.
For $3.69 or something like that.
Wow, that's pretty cheap.
It's not bad. Or you could,
but you also live in the
avocado country.
Avocado country, yeah, over there.
Yeah, so maybe
saying
it's cheaper here.
In this article that a lot of the avocados come from Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm.
And Rob is closer, so.
Yeah. I don't know I think there could be potentially issues with avocado importing down the road, but millennials need to worry about that, I guess, as well.
Yeah, no wonder they're protesting the wall.
That's why
it's going to raise the price when they have to build those trebuchets to hurl the avocados over the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Avocado toast, avocado lattes, avocado hand. It's all avocado, Danny.
Well, now it is. This will fade, and then the next great fruit or vegetable will come up and have
its time. Really? Because avocado, I think, has been like really leading the charge for a long time now.
No, I think this is peak avocado. I think that, it's been there. It's been kind of humming along, but I think right now it's peaking all over the place.
Okay.
So I think that it's time the limelight will fade eventually, and then a new magical fruit or berry or vegetable will make itself known.
Have any regrets that our generation doesn't have a signature piece of produce?
They do.
What is it?
Let's see. When we were born, 1978, 79, go through into the 90s. Mm-hmm. What was our favorite fruit in the 90s?
Oranges.
I feel like that we had a really good claim to coffee. I feel like that really popularized the coffee chains, but... I think that's sort of been...
Saying that we don't have a fruit that represents...
Or vegetable
that represents us. Because
they
have kale, too.
Yeah, they have kale, they have eggplant, and they have avocado.
Well, eggplant really came from emoji, Danny.
That's what I mean, but that's...
And people are only chugging eggplant based on the emoji alone.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what we got... Man.
Salad?
Yeah, but that kind of got popular a little later, too.
Fine, whatever.
In the 2000s.
All right, well, we'll think about it. Let us know in the comments if you have anything.
If there was any popular fruit pre-2000.
Yeah. In other coffee news, John has an update for us on a woman in Florida who was awarded $100,000 after she sued Starbucks for being burned by coffee in 2014. The woman sustained first and second degree burns at a drive-thru in Jacksonville when the lid popped off her beverage as she was receiving, that the lid was defective. She was awarded the money for her medical bills as compensation. How are we serving lattes and avocados, Danny, if we're awarding money to people who got burned
how
by the coffee?
Do you have people sign some kind of...
For my avolatte? What do they give you, the other half of the avocado?
Yeah, it's way dangerous. There must be some kind of legal document that has to be signed before you can buy one.
Are these iced latte, avocado lattes, Tyson?
They may just be. I don't know. Because you could burn yourself so easy. Like, what is the carrying mechanism? I feel like the carrying mechanism for the avocado latte, if it's boiling hot, would be more plastic and waste than just a regular cup.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a good point.
You'd have to have the lids perfectly crafted for that individual avocado. Or you could do like a shower cap style lid where it like stretches and then locks over the top.
Yeah, that seems difficult to pull off.
Or we should cover ourselves in the same suits that firemen wear. You know, to protect them from the heat of the fires while you drink it. Yeah. And those gloves that you can use to get things out of the oven.
That should be like, as you order your coffee, there should be like a agree to the terms or like sign a waiver. And part of it is that like, if you're not in a full Kevlar suit, you assume the risk of getting third degree burns all over your entire body inside and out. Just to cover their bases, you know?
Yeah. Look.
So, man, this dog eat dog world is real tough for corporations.
It's tough. So here's a story that was sent to us by Sophia Grubb. A man in Texas is in the process of suing a woman after a bad date to the movies. He took the woman to go see the hit film Guardians of the Galaxy 2. But during the film, he claims that she was texting the whole time, and he is suing her for damages of $17.31.
I think she already paid him back.
Oh, that's official?
I want to say I read that just the other day, that she actually paid him back for the movie.
Yes. Okay.
Wow. I would have left immediately. Like, if she was texting the whole movie, I would have either gone and sat somewhere else or just left.
Yeah. Can we see pictures of the two people?
Why is that important?
I feel like context.
Well, so she did pay him back. She paid him back $17.31.
And can you see pictures of them?
Looking now. Oh, yeah. I can see a picture of the guy. He looks like the kind of guy who would sue.
Okay.
I see a poster of Galaxy of the Guardians. That's who you should sue because that movie went on forever.
It wasn't good?
I'd like to sue them.
It was bad, Dan?
It was okay.
You didn't like part two?
I was just like, oh, my gosh, when is this going to end? And then when it did end, it actually kept going because they had a bunch of crap at the end of the end.
Did you take your kids to see this?
No, I went with Liz and I wanted to leave. Actually, I told her we are not watching this stuff that rolls in the credits. We're leaving. And so we were the only people in the theater to get up and walk out during the credits
before the secret ending.
Well, they have like six or seven clips they play during the credits, and I'm like, I'm not watching this crap.
Did you like the first one?
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know, but
what expectations did you have for the second one?
Well, no, what I'm saying is I can sympathize with this woman. She texted during the movie because it went on and on forever. It's not her fault that the movie was boring.
Okay. So now shots are fired at Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt did a great job. He didn't write the movie. He just acted in it and made millions of dollars. Okay. But look, this guy is suing her because she texted during the movie. Well, he can't tell her to be interested in the movie. Did he invite her to go see it?
Well, first off, though, that when you go to a movie, that it's a social contract.
Yeah.
You're not texting during the movie. My wife, she doesn't care. She'll just like take out. I get very embarrassed.
Yeah, Rachel will too.
I get very embarrassed.
And I am too.
If I have to even check a even if I look at the time, I am very discreet. I will try to like stick my phone into my jacket and sort of like.
I'll go out down into the exit hallway.
Tyson, I'm like at the poker table. I'm not showing anybody my hand. I'm very, very considerate.
Yeah, you can.
Of anybody else in the movie theater. I don't know. I don't know.
Guys, I agree that you shouldn't text. I don't text during movies. But I'm also saying that if you take someone you don't really know out on a date to go see a movie, you have to accept whatever weird quirks this person has as a possibility. And you can't ask for
like
the money
her thing?
Back. Well, yeah, that could be her thing. Or what if she tells boring stories at dinner? You're going to have her pay you back for the meal because you didn't like all the conversation she had or the fact that she didn't talk at all?
Yeah.
I mean,
paying you back is kind of like one of those things where it's like, you should pay me back for not watching the movie. But I am in Rob's boat where I get so – Rachel will be on her phone – like And she'll be on her phone the whole opening, like all the beginning stuff before the movie starts, which is fine. People do that. And then they tell you to turn off your phones. And she ignores that, which is fine because there's still shit going on that you don't care about on the screen. And then the movie starts and she's still on her phone. And then the movie keeps going and she's still on her phone. And she'll finally put it away she'll put it away like 10 minutes into it. And the whole time I'm just like mortified and just like, if somebody screams at us, I'm going to be like, I don't know her.
Mm-hmm. Guys, I'm not trying to justify what this woman did. What I'm trying to say is that if you're taking someone on a date and you don't mm-hmm. really know them, you have mm-hmm. to accept whatever behavior you uncover during the date as that's who they are. You just don't take them out on a second date. You don't sue them yes. for the money spent on the first. It's like, grow up. You took a risk. It didn't pay off. Move on.
Don't but be also, a baby we don't about know. It. We don't know what $17 is worth to this man.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like it's a monetary issue with him. His name Principal. Is Brandon Vesmar. He's on Twitter. He is president at The Messaging Company, which I don't really know what that is. But he only has 328 followers on Twitter, so I don't know. And he's not verified. So,
okay. Really, so it not be him.
And, the other
no,
thing
it is, this is him though, because he has he's done a lot of interviews about this. He's really like making it into his thing.
Oh,
the other thing is that a millennial texting during a movie—that's not news. Did you really not think that she would do that? I mean, that's the future. Welcome to the future. Were you not aware that this is what happens? Mm-hmm. I have no sympathy for the guy, and I think he's a bit of a baby for suing her.
It certainly is. And I think this is a dangerous precedent of you go on a bad date with somebody and you can sue them to get your money back. That's sort of like, think that you should just be not have to involve the courts in this.
Yeah. Let's but
millennials don't date anymore, do they? I thought they just do like online Tinder, like parking lot meetups and stuff.
They're using the glory hole at the Flying J.
I don't think so.
Flying J truck stop.
I don't think that's a millennial thing.
Well, no, not the glory hole.
That's an older generation, I think.
That's the baby boomers.
The baby boomers invented thing. The glory hole.
So
I really don't like this. I don't like how this guy sued her, and I hope that nobody else follows his example. Yeah.
Yeah. You go on one bad date, and then all of a sudden you're getting sued.
Yeah.
It just know that it's a risk. If you're not willing to take that risk, don't ask the person out.
Yeah. Or, you know, that you each buy your own ticket then.
Yeah.
Do
go
Dutch.
Yeah.
Why do you also go to a movie on, like, a first date? I feel like
terrible
that's
idea.
A bad call, too. Yeah. Yeah.
He's just bad at dating. Yeah, I think that's what it comes down to.
Bad at dating.
Yeah. Do you want to hear this guy talk about this, or you're not interested in what he has to say?
I think we could hear his voice for 5 seconds.
Yeah, let's see. I do want to hear his voice and see if it
matches up with your image.
Let me see. Yes. Let me see if I can get his thoughts on this. Okay. Here is a little bit of Brandon.
Brandon Vesmar became so frustrated by his date paying more attention to her mobile phone screen than the big screen that he suggested she take it outside. Now, she did, and she never came back. So he's suing her for $17.31, which is the price of her movie ticket.
It's a principled action against a person who exhibited really insulting behavior towards me and towards everyone else.
Now, the woman in quit.
Tyson?
Okay, all right. That's all I needed to hear.
Okay. So, Danny, please expound on that.
Okay, well, first of all, let me say that he told her to take it outside, which she found offensive. So she took it outside and left. Again, nothing wrong with that. She's decided to terminate the date because she doesn't like the guy and he doesn't like the girl. I don't see anything wrong with that.
But
I think it's a win-win.
If you took a woman out on a date and she just walked out on you, would you tell anybody
didn't
this
walk
story?
Out. He told her to take it outside. So she didn't just get up and walk out. He was like, hey, if you're going to text, why don't you go do that outside? Probably said it like he just told us in that same annoying,
grating
voice.
Why is he telling anybody about this?
This is embarrassing for him, but she has every right to walk away if she thought the guy was being a jerk. So I'm sorry. I still listening to that interview only confirmed everything I previously.
She
might have
been texting somebody. Hey, I'm on a terrible date. Call my phone, and then I'll pretend that I have an emergency, and then get
out
of here.
Here's what she should have done. She should have countersued for something like even more ridiculous
damages.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah. emotional
emotional damages because of his tone of voice with her. It made her feel like she wasn't attractive enough to him, which has caused insurmountable damages.
Yeah. When does that come up on the next date of, yeah, I'm the guy that sued the woman for texting during the movie on a first date. So watch your step. Yeah.
Make sure to, you know, be on your 100% A game because I will come at you. Yeah.
He just torpedoed all of his future dates. He's going to have to date someone above the age of 50 who didn't come across the story.
Yeah. I mean, what's the move? Like, he's on a next date and a new date picks up the phone. He's like,
Yeah.
No.
His lawyer, he's got his lawyer right behind him over his shoulder, whispering in his ear some strategies.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the lawyer's sitting in between them, mediating the entire date. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's like, if he does bring his lawyer to the next date.
I mean, at the end of the date, when it's like, oh, I guess this is good night. Do you want me to come up or? Okay. I guess that's it. All right. Well, I got a call with my lawyer in a couple of minutes. So,
yeah.
You know, it feels like that this is a really dangerous precedent.
Yeah. Is this guy related to Trump?
I don't believe so. Does not seem
I think
like
he might
it.
Be related to Pharmacy Bro.
Yeah, that's Martin
that
Shkreli.
Seems more likely. Yeah.
So yeah, no word on any famous relatives for this man. Brandon Vesmar. Okay. Before we get to our next story, let me take a moment and thank a sponsor. Those are our friends over at TrueCar, because if you are in the market for a new or used car, it's important to feel comfortable, like you were wearing a romp hem, and also comfortable that you're getting a fair price. You need pricing context, information that empowers you to feel confident. And with TrueCar, you can see what other people in your local market pay for the car that you want. And from there, you can connect with one of the local certified TrueCar dealers to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. TrueCar shows you what other people in your area pay for the car that you want. Now you know what a fair price is, so you can feel confident. Right, Danny, if you were trying to get a minivan, you could know what Tyson was paying for his minivan.
Yeah, and I could use TrueCar, or I could just ask him.
No, because he could be lying.
Yeah, or I could have gotten a bad deal on it.
Right.
That's
or
true.
Or he got a bad deal.
I'll just stick to TrueCar.
But then he tries to make it sound like he got a good deal so you don't think that he's like some schlub.
Yeah.
And
who can I trust,
not
Rob?
Not Tyson.
Yeah.
Not me. I'm unaccredited.
Once you register with TrueCar, you could see real pricing on actual inventory, pricing that's competitive and offered to you only by a TrueCar certified dealer for an actual vehicle on their lot. It's actual factual pricing that you'll see before you go to the dealership, so you can feel confident when you show up. And with TrueCar, you'll connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing and enjoy a quick, easy car buying experience. Best of all, TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Let's talk about this story sent to us by Vanessa, who says that a research scientist this week decided to train a neural network to create paint samples, which included their names. What could go wrong, Danny?
Well, since it's just paint colors, probably not much.
Well,
it's not deciding whether or not to launch the nukes.
Yeah. Well, the algorithm eventually got more accurate as it ran, but some of the names were eerie and disturbing. The artificial intelligence created paints called Cindy's Poop, Stanky
not
Bean,
bad.
And Turdly.
Crayola created this AI?
I'm not sure.
They should have.
Yeah.
And so the AI, what, it associates objects with the colors it sees? Like, I don't know. I don't get how it's generating these names.
It's coming up with new colors for these paints based on, like, combinations, and then also just using whatever information is available to name them. It also came up with colors such as bank butt.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with these names because whoever got to name colors at the first, I bet you blue sounded pretty stupid mm-hmm. at the beginning. So I don't mind the name Clardic Fug.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a fine name for a green. Yeah.
How about?
I mean, come on. That's a great name.
How about Stoner Blue? How did the artificial intelligence come up with that?
I bet it's just the like perfect. It's either like a denim, worn denim color.
Oh,
or.
Yeah.
You know, or like, let's say, like the blue on a homemade tie-dyed T-shirt.
Yeah, they kind of nailed it.
Oh,
then.
Here's a great name, Stanky Bean.
Stanky Bean, yeah,
I love that. I mean, I love these colors.
Stanky Bean. Let me guess the colors. You guys tell me the name, and I'll tell you the color.
Okay.
Stanky
You're
Bean.
Not, yeah, what is Stanky?
Is like a, it's probably like a brownish green, like a medium dark brownish green color.
No, it's.
What is it?
Yeah, it's like a, what would you say, Rob, a pinkish
yeah,
color?
Yeah, it's like I would say kind of like
pinto bean?
Like a mauve.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, Tyson,
next.
Here's one, Dorkwood.
Dorkwood. Okay.
A great name again.
Dorkwood. Dorkwood I feel is also like a brown. Is it in the brown family?
No.
Red?
What is that, like a grayish blue? I can't even tell, Rob.
Dorkwood is a grayish blue?
I'd say it's sort of like a darkish, greenish, first date movie suing sort of like really okay. Almost somewhere between like a black and dark blue or green.
Oh, okay, Dorkwood.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I see when I see these names, I wish this AI had been around when I was trying to come up with a name for my band, because all these are awesome.
Good
band names.
Dark, names, yeah.
Stargoon, Stummy Beige, Darkwood, Great Bat, Light of Blast.
They should Light do a blast. Robot that names bands.
Yeah. I wonder if we're looking at all of the hit kid names of 2018.
Is
17
this
here.
A robot that names colors that can also be bands, though? Maybe you don't need two different robots.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Clardic Fug. Welcome Clardic. To the stage.
Clardic Fug. F-U-G.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that.
Or Snowbonk.
Yeah.
Snowbonk.
Burble Simp actually did play Fire Festival.
Oh, Burble Simp did? Yeah. They were the only band that got down there?
Yeah, they made it down.
And then Burble Shall Rule.
Simp. Yeah.
Shall Rule and Ashanti had to get on yeah. and like do the rest.
Well, Stummy Beige canceled, and then they had to get Burble Simp to come in.
Burble Simp was great.
Did you guys see Saturday Night Live on Saturday where they did the intro to the rap song?
Yes.
And it was like, it started with like three rappers, and then it got to five, and then it got to 10, and then it got to like 30 rappers all on the same song. They're like, yo, Big L. And then the first girl was the best.
We should do that with the podcast.
Yeah, we should. Just keep introducing more people.
More co-hosts. That'd be good. Let's keep going and talk about a story about a woman in South Carolina who ended up scaring a bunch of horses while she was wearing a dinosaur costume. This woman was on the run. She has, at this hour, turned herself in. She surrendered to police and is facing charges of disorderly conduct and wearing a mask or disguise, which we were not aware of was against the law.
What?
Were we not?
Yeah.
Wearing? Do you think that was a rule that was created because of the clown outbreak?
Remember the clown apocalypse? Remember when that was like the biggest problem in the world?
I'm wondering if that led to this law.
Remember the days of yore where clown apocalypse was all we had to worry about?
Oh, I remember.
Yeah.
So I think that this is probably what happened. This woman got in a T-Rex costume in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
No, South Carolina.
She was
you
in
don't
Florida
know where she
time.
Got into the costume, oh. Jim.
Yeah, she got into the costume in Florida.
Right, okay, drove to South Carolina.
Took a bunch of bath salts and flocka.
That's where you get
ran,
them in Florida, right?
Yeah, in Florida. Ran full sprint to South Carolina.
She ran there.
Bumped into, full sprint the entire time.
Yeah,
of course.
And then she saw the horses, and she stopped and growled at them.
Yeah.
And then... probably woke up somewhere.
No, I'm surprised that the horses were scared of a dinosaur because...
It's in their DNA.
It's
in their DNA.
Yeah. Because I wouldn't think that they would necessarily know what that was.
In their DNA, they do.
Their ancestors do.
Their ancestors do. The horses at the time of the dinosaurs were little horse tadpoles.
Mm.
And, I mean, there's two theories, yeah. And this is one. So this is the evolution theory. So they're little tadpoles, and the Tyrannosaurus rexes would come up and drink out of the ponds and slurp up the tadpoles too. And the tadpoles had this fear ingrained of them of Tyrannosaurus rex. The other theory is that God created horses and put them here, and Satan put dinosaur bones here to confuse humans into thinking that dinosaurs existed and so that we wouldn't believe in creationism.
But it still wouldn't explain why there is a third possibility, and that is that these are carriage horses, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's just assume that there was a man on the carriage directing the horses. What if he was scared of the T-Rex?
Hold.
And it wasn't the horses, it was him, and the horses picked up on that. You know, maybe he yanked on the bridle or whatever the heck it's called.
Yeah.
And it was really his fault and his fear of the T-Rex.
Also, a lot of horses have blinders on because they're terrified of everything.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because horses are terrified of everything. I'm terrified of horses. Does
are
that
you
in
really?
Turn make me?
Are you really afraid of horses?
Oh, yeah. They got, you look in their eyes, you don't know what they're thinking. Plus, they do that like sidesteppy, like stomp. That's unsettling to me.
Yeah.
See, listen,
are you
the police
scared
report.
Of horses?
I'm scared of riding on horses, but actually, I'm not scared of a horse.
So, like, if they put you in a pen with a horse, like, even, like, a one-acre pen, you'd be fine?
Yeah.
Let me just tell you this. I rode a horses for a very short amount of time, and you'd have to put them into that trailer, which is extremely tiny.
Right.
And it was just you and the horse, and it was somewhat terrifying to be around that horse.
I don't
want to
be sort of, like, you know, bucked by the horse. I'm afraid of, like, falling off the horse, but the actual, like, I'm not scared of, like, the sight of a horse.
So, yeah, but what if there's no barriers between you and the horse and it's just you and the horse there?
I'm more worried about, like, standing behind the horse and getting him, like, the sort of, like, kick me with his hind legs.
Yeah, obviously, there's layers of levels of fear.
But I'm not necessarily nervous about the horse charging me.
Okay, so you would say that if we were like, okay, let's put you in the pen of a horse and it's a big pen and you just have to stay there for a couple hours, you'd be fine doing that?
I think so.
Or let's go back to ancient Rome, and Rob's in the Colosseum, and there's a horse in there, and he has to fight the horse.
To the death.
To the death.
And the horse has tons of swords taped to him.
Oh, well, I mean, that's different, If it's a trained, like, fighting horse with swords taped to it, yeah.
Yeah.
And the horse is trained by that guy who played Gladiator.
Am I in a T-Rex costume?
Yeah, you're in a T-Rex costume.
Is it like a T-Rex like suit of armor, or is it just sort of?
Nope.
But
it's just
but
the
it's
costume,
padded.
But it has the inflator thing on it that might also startle the horse.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, I mean, I'm sure that the Romans would love to have seen that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes sense.
Did they have tape back then? Like, really? You think they had duct tape to attach the swords to the horse?
No, that was invented in Scotland. They didn't have that in the...
Scotch tape?
Yes.
Makes so much sense.
Yeah, they don't have Roman tape.
This woman had an award, a reward out for her arrest, by the way.
How much was it?
I wonder
it?
If she
did
gets
she get it.
Yeah, $2,500.
Oh, my God, dude. Yep. I would turn myself in for $2,500. I should start looking at rewards and just be like, that was me.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. The reward was for animal cruelty, right? Mm-hmm. But the only person hurt was a human, or the only animal hurt was a human. So
I got bad news for you here, Danny. What? Humans are also animals.
Oh. No, that's what I said. The only animal hurt was humans.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually the guy. So the carriage started to back up, and the guy running the carriage fell off. It's like, I don't know if the horses were scared. I wonder if the guy was scared at this growling T-Rex on bath salts. And so he was backing away from her, backed into a car, and fell off. I really don't know if it was the horses.
Huh. Okay. So you think she's innocent?
I think that I don't really see a crime here.
Well,
other than being hilarious.
Yeah, I think it's pretty funny.
Except for scaring horses with people. Would, well, if you were riding a horse, Danny, would you want me to jump out at the horse in a T-Rex costume?
Well, you didn't jump out. If you just started coming at me and growling, I'd think it was pretty funny. Look, this is just sometimes jokes have collateral damage. We just need to accept that as a society. Okay. That if we want funny things, we have to understand that sometimes things get broken.
Do you think we could write that into the Constitution somewhere and just be like, if it's voted hilarious enough, then it's no crime at all?
Yeah, yeah, okay. I think so.
All right. Well, the city of Charleston is being pushed by the manager of the horse-drawn carriage company to condemn these tactics and warn groups that encourage this behavior that this rhetoric is fueling the danger, Danny.
You know why? Because he's embarrassed that he was scared by an inflatable T-Rex costume.
Yeah.
And so in order to cover up his shame, he's out here making these stupid warnings like, oh, people in inflatable T-Rex costumes, we can't have them running around.
Danny, do you remember Goatman in Utah?
Goatman?
Oh, well, I remember the guy who was in the Goatman articles would dress up as a goat and go live with the goats. Yes.
There was a man who made his own mountain goat costume. Because we have herds of mountain goats in the mountains up here. And he would go, like, hide with the goats and try and get as close to him as he could. And people were snapping pictures. And there was a reward out for him, too, to find out who this goat man was. So it was, like, a big thing, like, a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty funny because people were enraged, which made it funny. So I think in a vote, it would have won out in hilarity and the man would have been innocent because of the hilarious factor.
We need like a comedy democracy where we can all vote whether or not it was funny enough that the person can't be charged with anything.
So thieves will then be trying to brainstorm the most hilarious crimes they can to hopefully be found innocent.
Mm-hmm.
So who's the comedy judge?
The society.
Is it a comedy jury
a poll across
or
the
do
nation.
We let people vote on it?
Well, this is the tricky thing because what I find funny is not necessary. Like, for example, I may not have written a bunch of shows like The Big Bang Theory, but that's one of the number one shows on TV.
Right, we need a comedy Supreme Court.
You have to appeal to the greater audience.
And on the Comedy Supreme Court, we got who? Adam Sandler, Kevin Hart.
Well, I think what you're going to have is that it's a lifetime appointment to the Comedy Supreme Court, so you're going to have like a lot of older comedians that are on there.
Like Don Rickles just barely got replaced.
See, that's why I think that it should just be maybe a Twitter-led thing where everybody votes instantly on Twitter whether or not it was funny enough to be clear.
You're
going to
get burned by
damage.
The letting Twitter vote. Okay.
I'm just saying it can't just be a small group of people.
Face.
Here's what you do. Here's what you do. This is how you appoint the Supreme Court. You give people there's got to be a way that you can instantaneously vote in the moment without notifying people that there's going to be a vote. So people don't have time to like plan anything. They just off the top of their head have to name the funniest person that they want on that Supreme Court. And they only have like a second of like or a 2 second window to type it in Twitter. And then Twitter tallies the votes and they put those people on. But we can't have them like plan it out. Otherwise, Harambe would be there. And,
right. Yeah, Bodie McBoatface.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're right. It would never work if we gave people time to think.
Yes.
It has to be like a flash vote.
Right. Yeah, flash vote.
And like Kevin Hart's not going to like hear all these comedy Supreme Court cases all day.
No, but there's lower courts as well.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Hart might.
Nah.
I don't know. He's got a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah.
He's doing all sorts of stuff. He's too busy to deal with the horse-drawn cart Tyrannosaurus Rex incident.
Is he, though?
He's pretty busy.
Because I feel like he'd like that.
Yeah. Well, it's a cushy gig for when you retire, but I think it'd be like a lot of out-of-work comedians.
Okay.
I think that maybe we're going to have to work a little bit harder on structuring this whole comedy Supreme Court system, but we'll get to it.
All right. Yeah. This is another huge story that we need to talk about because we're talking about that the horses got scared. Maybe there's something going on here with this animal story. Everybody's talking about the sea lion, which got a hold of a young girl and dragged her, not on Twitter, under the water, Danny.
If we could create a cap and we could put it on the seal. I want to know if he was playing or if he was kind of pissed off because he thought all these people were laughing at him, you know? Mm. Like, this is revenge for all the giggles he got when he kind of surfaced, or whether he thought she was food.
I think that the girl was, like, throwing crackers around down there by the water, and then he
thought she was made of crackers.
Yes.
A lot of people are saying that this was at a zoo, but it was not at a zoo.
Yeah, where did this happen?
I don't think it was at a zoo. It looks like it was just, like, up on a dock somewhere or something.
Right. Stevenston Harbor in Richmond, British Columbia.
Okay.
Not a zoo at all.
Yeah. Well, and these are Canadian seals. I had always heard that Canadian seals were very friendly. They were all very nice. And this one, no.
Seals are apex predators. Yeah.
Apex predators. What does that mean, Tyson?
Well, they're not apex predators, actually, because there's...
sharks. They've got sharks and, like, great whites or whatever.
Killer whales.
Killer whales.
So, but they are high up on the predator list.
Seals are apex creepers, because if you ever go to a place where there's seals, they're always bobbing with just their eyes above the water, kind of like staring at you. I always feel creepy around seals. They've got this look on their face like they're up to no good.
I got this all figured out. The seals are feral. Okay. The seals are bad. We need to ward the seals and get them the hell away from the docks. Okay,
so with Tyrannosaurus costume,
you
lady?
Got it. T-Rex costume lady needs to go on patrol and walk up and down that pier, keeping all those seals at bay.
Mm-hmm. Seals in bay.
Yeah,
two birds with one stone.
At bay, in the bay.
Mm-hmm. I think that could work. I've heard a lot of horror stories with seals. They're like dolphins where it's like, oh, they're cute and cuddly, but guess what?
No.
They'll chomp you.
Okay, here's the thing. From the seal's perspective, let's say that Tyson, an animal came down and appeared like he would give you delicious snacks that seemed to be coming from him. Wouldn't you assume that he was either making those snacks or was made out of those snacks? And perhaps the seal probably thought, if I take a big bite of this thing, I bet it tastes just like this snack that it's sharing with me.
Yes.
No.
So he was just trying to get more of that delicious bread, and he thought that humans are bread. Now he knows better.
Right. Tyson, is a seal and a sea lion the same animal?
A seal and a sea lion are different animals.
Yes. I mean, now, do we see why this animal is called a sea lion? Like, are they literally the lions of the sea, just like you wouldn't play with a lion?
No. Seals and lions can both be aggressive.
Mm.
And it's just, they're different species, but they both can be aggressive. They both can go after humans. I think that the way this woman shouldn't have gotten so close to this thing.
It was a girl.
Like, you can, this girl shouldn't have gotten so close to this thing. You can observe from a distance, but I would not try to get close to.
Well, and they say don't feed. I mean, that's like a no-brainer. You don't feed animals, especially wild animals.
Mm. Yeah. Now, could you feed it an avocado latte?
Oh, my gosh.
Depends on how far you can throw that thing.
Not far. I wouldn't think.
Do you want a sea lion that's all hopped up on caffeine?
No, that's probably what happened to this thing.
No. Yeah, it's just you don't want them. Now they're up on the dock and like slapping people with their tails and dragging them into the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, you don't want to give them caffeine. The taste of... caffeine is not going to be something you want them to have.
Just to update this story, the girl in the story, she was not harmed. They were able to get her up out of the water, but the
whole, who jumped in there and rescued her?
Yeah, the whole incident. I think so. I think the guy that it was her father.
To be a relative is what they say.
Yeah, that jumped in there. They took her out.
Now the seal has a taste for mammal flesh.
Right, right. Boy, this is scary. Tyson, should we open up sea lion hunting along the coasts?
Don't even bring that up. You're gonna get don't. It's, you don't want to open up hunting.
No, I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah,
no,
I don't think so.
I'm not advocating anything. This is a show where we talk about
this
ideas.
Is the question.
Yeah,
yeah. No, I don't think so. I think we just need to instruct humans better how to act around wild animals. It's like the same thing with Yellowstone. It's like you go into Yellowstone, somebody wants to pet a bison, all of a sudden they get trampled by a bison, everybody's up in arms.
Or last year when they picked up that bison and put it in their car, the baby bison,
because it was burned.
because they thought it was cold.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. And you're like, this is a wild animal.
So what we should tell people to do is not go near the water unless you're wearing a T-Rex costume. Keep one handy. Uh-huh. Avoid horses, but only for the dangerous marine life. You should be wearing a T-Rex costume. Could people just have like, yes, sort of like a T-Rex mask in their back pocket? Would that be enough to keep the sea lions at bay, Dan?
I don't know if any of it would be enough, so that's why I'm going to have another disclaimer here. News AF is not liable for any injury that may incur.
Yeah.
With
like, hey,
based on
I think another way, I went by the sea lions and I was wearing a T-Rex costume like you guys said, and now I'm suing you for $17. Yeah. Like, screw you.
I think another thing to
the
point out to
mask.
People is that these movies you watch where animals have human characteristics or anthropomorphized or whatever, mm-hmm. that's those are not documentaries.
Yeah.
I mean, animals do not talk
that's
to
a good
you.
Point.
They do not eat out of your hands. You need to realize that they're wild and they'll gladly drag
right.
you down to the
millennials
deep,
have grown
deep
up
sea.
In the Toy Story Pixar era. Every animal yeah. is friendly. Every animal can talk. I'm going to go and have a conversation with this sea lion, talk about avocados and anything going on. And that's not the case.
Not
yeah.
at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Very dangerous out there. Be careful, everybody.
Yeah, just stay inside.
Stay inside.
Just stay inside.
Danny.
Yeah, if you can stay inside, that would be perfect.
What's going on in the bolt hole?
Guys, I'm going to give you three options.
Ooh, we can vote.
Mermaids,
okay.
Kings,
ooh.
Or social networks.
Mm. Ooh.
Did Tyson
well,
I need
can
to
I ask
lock
a few
in?
More questions?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, ask more questions.
Is it about a new social network?
No. It's okay. about the current social networks. Any other questions?
Is it a yeah. current king or is these kings from the past?
It is a current king.
Ooh. Is it a burger
is
king?
It,
no, it is not the king. Okay. That's how we'll refer to him.
Is it real mermaids?
Maybe. It's all in the mind of the you know,
beholder.
The person. Yeah, beholder. So
I think I'm out
could
on
be.
Mermaids if they're not real, Tyson.
What?
Yeah. Hmm. Okay, so we're out of the mermaids. That leaves a 50-50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kings or social networks. Which ones are our listeners going to like more?
I'm going to steer you guys towards the king story because yeah. I found it highly
entertaining. That's where I was leaning.
Well, then let's do the kings. I was leaning towards social media because it might be more relevant to our listeners.
Well, the social media story is about which social media platform hurts your mental health the most. And I think we all know what that one is. So that's really like a big nothing
Instagram.
Burger.
Okay, right? Instagram.
Instagram, right? So let's just move on to the king. And okay, like you get on an airplane and the pilot comes and sometimes they shake your hand. Right. And
yes.
you're like, oh, I wonder who this guy is. You know, is he an alcoholic? What kind of issues does he have? But for the past 20 years, the Dutch king has actually flown for KLM.
Mm-hmm.
So a king has been flying the peasants around on his jumbo jet for KLM,
mm-hmm.
which I thought would be beneath the king. Like his status, doesn't that mean that everybody should be flying him around, driving him around? But no, the king of the Netherlands has been working for KLM, flying people around. I just
wow,
the flying.
It doesn't
Dutchman.
Seem very kingly. that was a great joke, the flying Dutchman.
Yeah.
You don't know, Tyson. You may have flown. I don't know when the last time was you were over there, but I'm sure there's a small chance that you may have flown with a king and not even known it.
Danny,
what airline?
KLM.
Does the K stand yep. for king?
No.
Okay.
No. The Royal Dutch Airlines, KLM, which is actually interesting that it's Royal Dutch. Maybe that's how he got the job.
Oh, because it's
a shoe-in.
Yeah.
If you're king,
nepotism.
You can fly for the Royal Dutch Airline.
Oh, you have the option of flying for them.
It comes with the kinghood.
Okay,
they're like, yes, you get this crown, you get this fancy throne, and a seat on a 747
yeah.
or whatever
Here's
it is.
Here's what's scary
wow.
to me, okay? Mm-hmm. Are we sure that the king passed flight school? Because I kind of feel like that maybe people bent a few rules to get the king through.
Well,
that's right,
though. Here's what I was thinking. I was thinking maybe he learned how to fly planes in the military because a lot of those monarchs have to go through all the military training. So maybe he was in the Air Force or something like that.
That's probably true, but I'm with Rob. Who's going to be like, I'm sorry, King, you didn't pass the twin engine flight certification.
I'll tell you who.
He's like, off with your head.
His mom.
His mom, Queen Beatrix, I think is Beatrix. Her name.
Yeah. You tell the king one time, like, I'm sorry, it's not looking too good for your pilot's license. What? Off with your head.
Yeah, actually.
I think that was before planes were invented. When they do don't. That.
But still, who's going to deny their king whatever he wants?
Yeah.
It is kind of a scary position to have the king flying a giant plane. It's like, King, you're drunk. No, I'm not. Peasant, out. I mean, you're not going to confront your king.
I still feel like it's a different time, man. I think that's a different time. I think you can say whatever you want to these kings now.
Well, Tyson, that's because you didn't grow up in a monarchy. You have no respect for the throne. These people might revere their king.
Or they might actually hate the king even worse than we can even possibly imagine.
And maybe that's why he flies planes, is to endear himself to the people, which is a pretty good move.
Yeah.
But do we want kings flying planes? That's really what this all comes down to.
I think so, because I think that's the first step in getting rid of the monarchy, which is just a popularity contest anyways.
Well, but then doesn't the plane become a target for people who might hate the monarchy? Isn't he putting people at risk by flying that thing?
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, I guess so.
Does this mean...
I don't know. I say no to kings in the air.
No kings in the air.
Yeah.
You know, they say that the T-Rex is the king of the dinosaurs.
Ooh.
I'd be okay if I got on the plane and both the pilot and co-pilot were wearing T-Rex costumes. I'd actually be like, oh, this is going to be a fun flight.
Not me, dude. I'd be like, okay, Flocka is present. Bath salts are probably present.
You need some sort of T-Rex flight attendant. I think that if on all these United flights, all these passengers are getting unruly, you get the flight attendants in the T-Rex costume, nobody's going to step up to the T-Rex, Tyson.
Yeah, the ultimate plane would be a co-pilot and pilot that are royalty, and all stewards that were in T-Rex suits, and then maybe the, what was it, the octagon in the middle that we'll call the Thunderdome, where people fight. It's like everybody's dream.
Yeah, because then when you have the fight club on the plane, then the king can sort of like step back there and do like thumbs up, thumbs down.
And give knighthood to people who win. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Please
the
king.
I think it's a good idea.
And everybody's going to be on their best behavior around the king.
Yeah, of course, because it's just too risky to upset the king.
Yeah.
So you're thinking that the Colosseum is now moved to the international waters in the air.
Yeah, well, the Thunderdome. I prefer the Thunderdome. Maybe get Tina Turner.
You get to choose one weapon if you can reach it.
Two men enter, one man leave, and the king is doing the thumbs up, thumbs down, and of course Rob's fighting a horse with a bunch of swords taped to it.
Jeez, Rob.
Anything goes in the air.
The match of the century.
All right, everybody. It's your Royal Highness once again. If you could direct your attention to the center octagon, you'll see a friendly podcaster is going to be taking on a horse that has swords taped to him in the main match. So keep your eyes on that. We're looking like we have on track for an on-time arrival in Holland. So thanks again for flying, KLM. I'll be moving around the cabin in just a bit. And thanks again, and be sure to be kind to the T-Rexes walking around the cabin.
Well, this would be so great. This is seriously.
How do we get enough money to start an airline?
First, we contact the king, because he probably has a lot of gold somewhere in his castle.
First, we need to get the sloth terrarium going.
Okay.
Then the investors walk into us.
Yeah, coconut coffee gives us the money we need to build the King Airline with the Thunderdome and Tina Turner. And then eventually we peak. The moment we peak is when Rob fights the horse with the swords. Yes.
You think that's the peak?
Yeah.
I think that is the peak.
Rob, I really hope you win.
I hope so,
too. Oh, and by the way, they fight in a Thunderdome, and underneath is glass, and the glass starts to open up during the match.
Oh, so you have to start fighting around the glass as there's a hole in the middle, and you can just toss. You can, if you can get a hold, like sumo bump him into oblivion.
Gosh, that's such a cool idea.
Okay.
We got to get a hold of Michael Bay and at least get this turned into a movie.
Yeah. Well, why don't we make the movie ourselves?
Hmm. Get Sloth Terrarium.
Sloth Terrarium. Maybe hit up some Hollywood bigwigs.
Yeah. It's all happening. All right.
Okay.
Great stuff today. Do we have any frontrunners for the hashtag? We had a lot of ideas.
Yeah. Okay, give us the ideas.
Well, we talked about a lot of things. I don't know if anything's hashtagable.
How about Sword Horse?
Sword Horse? Okay. It's good to get that that scotch-taped horse ready to go for the big death match. Mm-hmm. Do I get a weapon?
Rob versus the Sword Horse. I don't know.
I just have to survive the
hour. You could use your brain and opposable thumbs.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe
in the T-Rex costume. Do I have like claws in the T-Rex costume?
Yeah, we'll give you kind of like a Freddy Krueger blade setup. Mm.
Oh, well, then I feel okay.
Well, still, I mean, he's got the reach of those swords.
Oh, yeah,
you're going to have
to
get past the swords. So it's going to be tough, dude, but that's the whole point, is for it to be watchable. We don't want it to be like the NBA Finals.
Okay. So, and then I just have to make it the hour, right?
Yeah, or before the floor opens up all the way. That's the incentive to get in and get your opponent, because if neither of you have won by the time the floor opens up, both of you fall.
It's like a trap door in the bottom of the plane that opens up?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Slowly, while you fight.
Boy, I think that's going to really be disruptive for the passengers, no?
Yeah, well, you're in the Thunderdome. Disruptive. Yeah, it's going to be less disruptive than having them all fight each other.
Yeah. Direct your aggression to the center stage.
Like, I mean, isn't the cabin pressurized? I mean, I feel like that's going to...
Well, they'll slow down and depressurize at 10,000 feet. It adds to the excitement.
Yeah, well, that is really exciting.
I think what else they could do is everybody has to put their oxygen masks on, keeping them in their seats.
Yeah, and hot.
That's
yeah.
what you got to do.
Because it's laughing gas.
You got to get in there and just link to the oxygen masks, and if you unlink from them, you'll suffer permanent brain damage.
Oh, my God.
Then nobody would fight, I bet.
Yeah. Or there'd be more fights.
Or more fights.
All right. Well, what do we say? That this is Sword Horse?
Sword Horse.
Side of Thunderdome.
Sword Horse, the next Broadway musical hit.
Okay. Uh-huh. That's great. Great job. All right. Of course, Tyson is going to be coming west, and bring your sunscreen. Get ready to go. Hopefully avoid all of the fights on your plane, Tyson.
No, I'll try. I'm on Delta.
Don't look anyone directly in the eyes, Tyson. I think that's how it goes.
Well, I have a baby. I think a baby's
kingdom.
A good... Oh, no, because that family on Delta
got...
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, wait till they try to take your stroller away.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, this is crazy. But
good
I use
luck,
flight
Tyson.
Miles. I got like an all-time cheap flight miles flight to LA.
Yeah, the cheap flights are the worst. That's where the most fights probably take place.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a double-edged sword, because in the first place, you're going to go there and you're going to get to see a fight, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. But if that fight contains you, that's less awesome.
Not as good. Not as good.
Yeah. Use your baby as a shield. That's what all, respectable people do.
If you can.
Okay.
If you can.
No. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, great stuff. Of course, Tyson is on social media at Tyson Apostle, and Danny is at Danny Bryson. Big thanks to Scott St. Pierre getting the show up and out to you guys. And of course, NewsAF intern Lita. Fantastic job. Keep sending us your stories at tips@newsaf.news or in our Facebook group. Tyson, you have any reviews ready to go?
Yeah, I'm actually going to get them. What I had this week was I had one of our good friends and listeners to the podcast. Mm-hmm. His name is James Roland. He sent me his review from Australia, because we aren't seeing the Australian reviews here either. So if you have reviewed us and can take a screenshot of that and send it to me on Twitter, then I can read international reviews from everyone.
Okay.
I pronounce French well enough that I could probably read a French one. Filipino I could do. German I could maybe do. Spanish, Danny and Rob and me could do as a trifecta.
All together, yeah.
So here we go from James Roland. It's actually, keep on romping. Get it? Keep on romping. 5 stars. J-Roll 182. Mm-hmm. News AF is happening. It's hip. It's fresh and it's funny. I like the joshing and banter from Rob, Tyson, and Danny. It's bro-like behavior. Rob, did you know your name is an anagram of bro?
I didn't know that.
Most likely because it's your name and you've probably studied it quite a lot.
Yeah.
So he said most likely you do know that already. Yeah. So
I tried to get my wife to build me a romp, him, by the way.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Well, I had three different separate conversations over the weekend, and she wasn't up for it. She wouldn't do it.
What's her problem?
I don't really know. She just seemed like she said, first of all, she wouldn't want a picture of me in a romp him circulating. Okay. That was her first thing. And the next one was, she kind of just wanted to keep putting it off. Like, oh, I don't know what fabric we would use or how you want it done. And I'm like, I want it like this. I showed her a picture from last week's podcast. And then she just kind of like kept putting it off.
I'm surprised, Danny, that you would be up for that.
She's got to turn that batitude into a ratitude, bro.
Well, I told her, you know, she does a lot of sewing. I said, this is what's in. If you can't accept that, maybe you should burn your sewing machine.
If you can get to it before everybody else gets it from their Kickstarter, you'll be ahead of the trend. But also, if you visit onepiece.com, again, I am
not a paid sponsorship.
Not a paid sponsor, but if we could get our publicist to say that we've mentioned onepiece.com a few times as the predecessor to the romp him, we might be able to get some of their goods.
Well, if my wife would just make us all romp him, I think we could have our own brand, News AF Romp Hims.
Why not?
Dude, these jumpsuits are pretty cool. Should I get one, a full body one with a hoodie? Should I get shorts with short sleeved one without a zipper?
You know what
even?
I should do is have her make, instead of a romp him, since we're talking about the next cutting edge thing, I'm going to make a romp him with one full leg and the other leg is shorts, and then one long sleeve and the other one short sleeve.
Yeah.
What would you call one, like an LL Cool J one?
Well, I don't know what that is, but I'm sure you see my vision. You
LL
expect
Cool
it
J
in the
is
mail.
One long leg, one short leg.
Yeah, and then since it's a romp him, it's got one long sleeve and one short sleeve.
Yeah, you can't make up your mind.
Well, why don't you do like a long one with zip-offs so it can be pants or so you can do any variation you want. Zip-offs, zips off into a vest, zips off into short sleeves.
How about a banana sling romp him?
Like Borat War?
Yeah, but it's a romp him. So it's got, your business up top. Party down below.
Is it like a woman's one-piece bathing suit?
No. Well, no, because it has sleeves and a collar, just in case you want to put on a tie. But down below, it's just a banana sling. But for those who are more conservative...
Well, if you were concerned about access, I think that would sort of alleviate the issue.
It's like just cutting the middleman to the Frog Eye Surprise and just giving everyone a view up front. They don't have to wait for you to raise your arms. They can just see what you're packing. Yeah.
No surprise there.
Time.
Frog Eye, very unsurprising.
Yeah.
All right.
How would you phrase that?
Great job again this week. We'll be back next week on Tuesday after Memorial Day to talk about everything going on in the world of actual factual news. Yes.
You know what that means? The pools are open here.
Pools are open. It's happening. All right. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.